This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
As I was driving in, I was coming into the station. I was like, oh, buddy, I am fully torqued for this final Masters round today. And I am still torqued. I went from 6 to noon, and it's yesterday after the end of round 3, and I it hasn't moved. I'm still up, still fully torqued for this final round because, Rashad, I'd say since probably 2019 Masters, I don't know if I've been more excited for a final round of major golf since then. It cannot be set up more perfectly. Rory McIlroy, who is trying to complete the career Grand Slam, he's won the U.S. Open, he's won the Open, the British Open, whatever you want to call it, the PGA Championship, he's won all three. And he won all three a long-ass time ago. He has not won a major in over a decade. It's been 10 years since Rory has won a major, and this is the only one that he has not won. He is came very close and then absolutely collapsed on the final day of the Masters. I believe that was, God, I'm forgetting the year. I don't know if that was 2011 or 13. It's escaping me. But he has had his chances here, and he has not been able to capitalize. And basically ever since Saturday, halfway through Friday's round, he turned around his play immensely and has been playing fantastic since basically started the back nine on Friday. And he has now catapulted himself into the lead. He shot 6 under yesterday. He got 2 eagles yesterday on his round and now finds himself at 12 under par at the top of the leadership. But who is right behind him on the leaderboard? It is Bryson DeChambeau, the guy who was right behind him on the leaderboard for essentially the entire final round of the U.S. Open last year out at Pinehurst. And slowly but surely, one stroke at a time, Rory missed putts. Bryson made putts. Bryson made an excellent save out of the sand on hole 18 to set him up for the U.S. Open victory. And for Rory to have one of his most deflating major losses that he's ever had. I remember the British Open from a few years back. That one was brutal for him as well. But what happened last year at the U.S. Open, that haunted him. And we are now setting it up for a Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau final pairing for the final round of the Masters. Rory just 2 strokes above Bryson, 18 holes. I just, 18 holes, anything can happen. We could see Rory either totally collapse again, go in and shoot a high 70s and just completely fall apart, and Bryson or somebody else in the field takes the victory. We maybe see a Bryson and Rory just back and forth. That's what I hope for. It's just a back and forth between two of the best golfers in the game right now. But you got the PGA Tour face versus the Live YouTube personality. I mean, it is two worlds colliding, clashing. This is exactly what the golf world wants, and I'm sure that the CBS, PGA Tour, everybody who's involved with this is just licking their chops in excitement and just couldn't be happier.
Look at those blue eyes of yours light up when you talk about golf and talk about Rory.
Jim Nance must just have a boner right
seriously.
Now.
Seriously. Oh, I think your golf pants are super tight right now.
Dude, you don't want to see what's going on under this table.
I definitely don't. You're 100% right. But I'm obviously nowhere near the golf fan that you are, but outside of like intense playoff basketball, like is there a cooler, or a football game, obviously, is there a a cooler way to spend Sunday afternoon when you have two guys, and some cases three. Corey Connors is not super, super far behind. He's not going to catch either one of those guys.
But he would be the second Canadian to win the Masters. They've been commenting all week about how Mike Weir is lonely at the Masters dinner year after year.
So, I mean, a couple of mistakes by, you know, either Rory or Bryson.
And I mean, the douche Patrick Reed is a few strokes behind on the leaderboard as well.
Now, as much as we're looking for like this amazing kind of showdown between Rory and Bryson, like how cool would it be if both of those guys kind of started to slip up and then, you know, Patrick Reed and Corey Connors all of a sudden picked up some steam through the first nine
or Scotty Scheffler or Jason Day, Ludwig Oberg, who I think finished second at the Masters last year. I mean, these guys are all anywhere between 6 to 7 strokes off. But, yeah, I would love that, too, is if Rory and Bryson and Corey, all these guys kind of fell apart to start, and it's like, okay, we now have 8 golfers within 4 strokes of the lead. Like, I want pure chaos. Yeah, that's what I'm like always rooting for.
Some good breakfast. This is like a, for me, this is a mimosa day or potentially a Bloody Mary day and some nice breakfast and stuff like that, or a nice lunch and just watch the last round of the Masters. Like, this is one of those days. Like, I almost kind of prefer this over, and mind you, I love football, absolutely love football, but not every football game is created equally. Some of them are trash, right, to watch a whole game. And most of us really watch Red Zone now, so we don't even watch, like, a full game. I have to get the full game experience, but I almost kind of enjoy this more than football on some days, especially when you have a really competitive final round of U.S. Open or Masters or whatever the case is. Like, that's awesome.
Well, that's the thing, is getting a Sunday that is competitive and there are guys that are within striking distance of each other in a major tournament. Whenever you got a guy going into the final round and he's up 5, 6, 7 strokes, and listen, that's why golf is crazy, though, is that you got 18 holes for some. I mean, someone drops 3 strokes and they're at the top of the leaderboard and someone is behind them and they're 3 over on the day. They're 300. It's like, that's a 6 stroke difference right there, just basically made up right there. And they are right back in it. That's the crazy part about golf, is that the way that this leaderboard looks today could look completely different by the end of it.
And somebody can have, you know, can be really good off the tee and then just can't finish putting and just can't knock it in. Like, the little things like that is like, oh, that little 5-foot, you know, chip shot that should normally go in for somebody just off to the left or just off to the right. Like, those are little moments like, ooh, everything changes that fast.
I feel like there's been a lot of missed putts in this Masters tournament. Like very close putts, just off the edge of the cup. It's been a lot of torture. And I feel like it's just a lot more closer shots, you know, at this. I don't think the weather was as good at last year's Masters, if I'm mistaken.
I think there was a little bit of rain.
There was like one day that kind of messed it up, but
it made it. Yeah, I think there was some rain on one of the days that, you know, changed the conditions a bit. But, you know, throws guys off.
Yeah, but like this year, it's basically been, you know, maybe guys in the morning have had a little bit better of a course.
There was a little bit of wind on Friday for the later rounds that were throwing some of the golfers off as well.
I'm going to ask you both this. What's your most memorable Masters moment?
Memorable Masters moment?
I'm not going to say the best, you know, because I think the best and most memorable could be two different things for you.
I mean, it has to be Tiger
2019. Like, that's kind of what got me into golf. Yeah.
I mean, him winning that was...
Talking about the comeback, or not the comeback, but with the hurt.
Well, this was,
after the knee, right?
This was after the knee, before he got in the car accident. I mean,
you're talking 2019.
2019, okay. Yeah. I mean, this was one of the, it was one of those where people, they just kept asking forever and ever, can he win another? Can he win another? And from the previous results, you weren't sure if it was ever going to happen. And then slowly but surely over the weekend, and then Sunday comes around and he climbs up the leaderboard. I forget, he was not the leader going into that day. And then going into like the back nine, there was like 8 dudes that could have won it. Like, the leaderboard on that 2019 Masters was absolutely insane. And the guy who ended up pulling it out at the end was Tiger freaking Woods, dude.
Yeah.
That will be his last major. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's no way he's winning another.
From his last one to his first one, I remember being in 8th grade and watching him, because I remember it rained on Sunday, and this is 97. So it rained on Sunday, so they canceled it for the day, and then they came back and played on Monday, and a 20-year-old Tiger won the Masters. And I remember that moment.
Was that the one he won by, like,
12 strokes.
Red shirt Tiger. First time we had ever seen the red shirt. And then I remember being downtown. There was a big kind of advertisement for Tiger. And it was like, when's his first Masters? Does this, turns 21, you know, later this year or something like that. I remember that. And always stuck with me for him crying, hugging his parents after he won, stuff like that. Like young, the start of what we would know as the arguably the greatest golfer.
Yeah, it was the 1997 Masters. Yeah. He won by 12 strokes.
Yeah. So, like, that would be the start of arguably the greatest run for a golfer in history. There's only maybe one other person that could lay claim to that, and that's Jack Nicklaus. Outside of that, Tiger is the guy. So that was it for me. I don't know about you, Jordan.
No, I pretty much cite the same memory. I don't really, like, when I think of, like, golf and when I started watching it, I mean, yeah, that was that weekend in 97 with Tiger Woods. I just didn't really care unless it was, like, a big sport going on, you know, outside of, like, the Blazers and the Mariners.
I watched it because he was black. Cool. I'll be honest.
For sure.
There was a black kid that was, you know, out there, and, yeah, that's the reason I watched it. So that was tight.
I remember the 2008 U.S. Open was a really good one. I just remember that one fondly because I was at Linfield football camp, and in between practices that weekend and, you know, scrimmages and stuff like that. That
in between getting burnt out there?
No, I was doing the burning, Rashad, okay? No. My route running was crisp. I took pride in my route running because if you're not the fastest or the strongest receiver,
you better learn how to run a route.
You better be a good route runner, okay? That is the white wide receiver's key to success, okay? Route running. But that U.S. Open was awesome as well, where it came down to Tiger and Rocco Mediate. But again, man, this one's going to be wild. It literally has me considering not spending this beautiful day outside and actually golfing and just sitting on my couch, probably taking a nap in between holes 6, 7, 8, 9, and then waking up for that back nine. That's probably how it's looking. But I can't wait.
That's what's up. I'm excited for you.
You should be excited for yourself because you're going to be watching, damn
it.
Yeah,
I'm going to get my little workout in and watch the at least the first nine. So I don't know if I'll watch the back.
Or you're going to watch the final day of the NBA.
I'm definitely not doing that. Like if I happen to get like somebody gives me a cool ticket to the Blazer game, potentially, but no.